This is Live Well Talk on Stroke Rehabilitation. I'm Dr. Dustin Arnold, Chief Medical Officer at Union Point Health, St. Luke's Hospital. May is National Stroke Awareness Month, and joining me today on the podcast is Kristen Bolin, a physical therapist at St. Luke's, to discuss rehabilitation for stroke patients, common post-stroke issues, types of therapy, and much more. Kristen, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So you are a physical therapist?
Yep.
How did you get into that?
Yeah, I'm a physical therapist, and kind of one of the things, I always knew I wanted to work in healthcare, but one of the things that drew me specifically to physical therapy is I think we have a unique opportunity to really spend time with our patients, which is maybe different than some of the other professions. And so, yeah, we get to establish relationships, kind of follow them through their course a lot of times. And so it's really cool to be able to make that meaningful impact on patients in that way.
And you've been at St. Luke's for how long?
I've been here just over 5 years.
And prior to the podcast, you said you were from Wisconsin.
Yes, from Wisconsin. So, grew up there and did all my schooling at the University of Iowa.
I hear a little bit of an accent, just a little.
People say that my A's are a little bit different than
a little.
Iowa.
Yeah. Not hardcore, but it's there, isn't it?
It is there. Yeah.
That's okay. We like Wisconsin.
Okay.
We had Riley, an RN from Five Center, on discuss about stroke, acute care, and kind of what happens then. But I mean, after that golden 4 hours of time as brain, then it really starts the rehabilitation process. And that's probably the biggest element of stroke care, more so than probably most people think. What is physical therapy's role in that?
Yeah, definitely a big role in that, right? Like after medically they're stabilized, it's kind of handed over to us. Like, okay, now's our time to shine. And so, yeah, acute care, we see patients within the first 24 hours after they are admitted for a stroke. So we evaluate all the patients, assess what their deficits might be, and how that is impacting their mobility. And then from there, we spend daily here on acute care, maybe 30 minutes for PT, but then also if they have OT and speech needs, that too. Just helping to work on progressing their independence, maximizing their independence with mobility, and helping to make recommendations for discharge. You know, are they safe to go home? And if they're not, then maybe seeing if they could go up to our inpatient rehab unit or going to our outpatient therapy unit. It's kind of a long process.
It is.
But
truly a team sport. I mean, I think stroke is one of those medical conditions that, I mean, we say about that in medicine all the time. Healthcare is a team sport. We've had multiple podcasts to illustrate that. But I think the diagnosis of stroke really is a team sport, probably more so than other diagnoses. Speaking of that team, you mentioned OT, occupational therapy. I'm going to just push you a little bit maybe out of your comfort zone, but I know you'll know the answer to this. Where does physical therapy in an occupational start? You know, cause sometimes, I don't know, have you ever had this happen? Well, I'm going to have occupational therapy, see, and the patient goes, oh, I don't have a job.
Happens all the time.
Yeah,
every day. Oh, like, you were already here. No, that was occupational therapy.
So tell me the difference between the two, because I think that there's a lot of listeners that'll they'll benefit from this.
Yeah, for sure. So we kind of like to explain it. Physical therapy, we help with your mobility, getting from point A to point B and kind of all of the things that encompass that. So your balance, the strength in your legs, coordination, walking, stairs. We look at transfers and those things too. And then occupational therapy, they help with the ADLs and the IADLs. So the activities of daily living, the things that you need to do on a daily basis. And then other things such as like cognition or, you know, managing some of the higher level tasks like medications and paying bills and financial things, cooking, you know, housework, things like that. So here in the hospital, we kind of split it up. Our occupational therapists look at like upper body strength, and we kind of look at lower body strength just to help, you know, divide and conquer. So definitely like an overlap. We have to work together because you need mobility to do ADLs, but you also need to like be able to think clearly and, you know, have good vision and safety awareness, some of those things that OT works on in order to be able to safely walk and keep your balance and things like that.
Well, so tell me this, like, I've had a stroke, and I mean, I'm quoting one of my attendees from my training, but said, patients die in bed, get your patient out of bed. makes sense. You know, and there's times, you can go back in medical literature, where the standard of care has put people at bed rest for 30 mm-hmm. days. You know, today, that sounds crazy. So early mobilization is important, but just tell us why it's so important.
Yeah, I think kind of two things. One, it prevents secondary complications, mm-hmm. right? Which any patient, early mobility is beneficial, but especially for these strokes, you know, getting sores or pneumonia or, you know, decreased range of motion because your joints and your muscles stiffened up, that sort of thing. But it also helps promote recovery. So really, some research out there has shown that patients that have gotten mobilized within 24 hours after their stroke have shown better outcomes as far as decreased hospital stays, you know, more independence with walking and function at time of discharge. So I think just getting that jump start right away is really helpful in their recovery.
So when we say early, mm-hmm. how early?
Here we do within the first 24 hours, we would consider early mobility. So a patient that's received TNK after their stroke.
That's a clot-busting drug, correct? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. So those patients, we have to wait 12 hours. And then after the 12 hours, if neurology clears them, then we're good to go ahead and start getting patients up. So usually that 12 to 24 hours is what we would consider early mobility. And then from there, it's just continuing to progress. So first, it might start with just like sitting on the edge of the bed and starting with more basics and making sure patients tolerate that first. And once we know they're doing well with that, then we can kind of progress to getting to a chair, getting up and walking, depending on how they're doing.
How we talked on a previous podcast, and I want to kind of pick your brain on this one. How long have you seen patients improve after stroke, continue to make improvement?
Yeah, for sure. I think the first...
Because you want to set realistic expectations, patient.
Yeah.
Don't want to give them false hope, mm-hmm. but you want to be optimistic as much as possible. So what's been your experience? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think those first couple of months, I think like in our brain, like neuroplasticity, that's kind of like the mechanism for what helps with stroke recovery, where our brain kind of reorganizes and restructures and things like that. Like 1 to 3 months is really that like critical time that we're going to see the most progress. I think farther out, like maybe 6 months. And then once you kind of get past that mark, then I feel like you can kind of have a good idea of like, this is kind of where things are at. And you know, where you need to focus more, probably closer to that 1 to 3 month range. Like, this is where things are. And maybe now we need to start shifting more to like compensatory strategies versus like more relying on that neuroplasticity to make the improvements.
In that neuroplasticity, that flexibility of the brain to learn new things, which we've only begun to understand mm-hmm. from a scientific neuroscience, the very basics, you know. The analogy I always like to think of is, you know, 11 people have landed on the moon, but only 3 people have been to the bottom of the Mariana Trench in the Atlantic Ocean, right? So and that's kind of like neuroscience. We're just at the infancy of really mm-hmm. understanding it compared to other fields of medicine or studies of science. But that neuroplasticity, I've seen patients, let's say they had a stroke like 5 years ago and had weakness in their right arm, come in with pneumonia and why they're sick with pneumonia, have weakness that will recover. Have you ever seen that too?
Like the weakness gets better?
It comes back.
Why? Like it gets worse.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I think we do see that.
And it's just that neuroplasticity being challenge, right? I mean,
yeah.
it's really interesting.
It is interesting to see that because sometimes those patients come in like a new stroke alert, like increased right-sided weakness,
right.
But most likely it ends up, you know, with the workup just becoming maybe an exacerbation of their prior stroke. But I think we do see patients like in rehab, whether that's on acute care or outpatient or upstairs on our rehab unit, in those cases somewhat frequently. Like it ends up being kind of just like a lifetime of, you know, periodically needing little tune-ups to help get your strength kind of back to what
makes
that
you appreciate
new baseline
how that, what the brain is doing mm-hmm. on your own.
Yeah,
you know?
It is cool.
The other thing that kind of, I don't want to say pet peeve, because I have like, you know, we could do a podcast, just Dr. Arnold's pet peeves. It'd be a 3-part series, I believe. But Okay, so the doctor makes rounds. The nurse checks them in the morning, checks their strength. Okay, improving a little bit from the day before. That's great. And then the doctor makes rounds and checks it. Then the midday nurse checks it. Then, you know, the patient shows their family. And then by early evening, all of a sudden they're really fatigued, you know, and it's like, oh my gosh, my stroke's coming back. What do you tell families about that, like expectations from like day to day?
Yeah, that can be hard for patients and families to wrap their heads around. And I like to tell my patients, like, progress is not linear. Progress is not linear. It's not this straight, perfect upward trajectory. Like, it's these little like up and down waves all in that like uphill motion.
Right, but that's a great way to look
at it. You know, there's going to be things, just fatigue throughout the day. Like, all of our patients that come in with strokes, I feel like, are feeling fatigued, right? A, they've been through a lot. They probably haven't slept because they've had 20 providers in their room, throughout the day.
It's not a place to get your rest.
And, like, your brain is just more fatigued because it's having to work harder to try to keep up with all the new changes. And so I think just laying out those expectations of letting them know, like, you know, you might feel weaker because the day's gone on. You've done a lot. Your body's going to get more fatigued more quickly than it's used to feeling. And just with anything, setting the expectations straight from the start, I feel like, is helpful so that they kind of understand what to expect. So they're not thrown off guard and that sort of thing.
Now, when someone goes up to rehab, I'll let you answer this question because I'd be guessing, but they have to do therapy for so many hours a day. Do you know what that is?
Yep, 3 hours a day.
3 hours
a
day.
So it's split up between physical therapy and occupational therapy. And if they have speech needs, then split up with speech therapy also. So yeah, the 3 hours a day is the one requirement. And then they also need to have like 24-hour nursing needs and then a need for like the provision of a doctor, which our physical medicine and rehab doctors provide
that. So 3 hours of therapy. Now, if someone has their post-stroke and they go home with therapy, I know sometimes I'm asked to issue that order, but I've never really asked, what does that entail? What, how often does the therapist see them in the home, and what are those sessions like?
Yeah, so if they go home, they were asking for that order likely because it would be a considerably taxing effort for them to like get out and go to outpatient therapy. So easier for them, they're kind of like homebound. And so therapy would come into their house and do an assessment. Generally, I don't work in home care, in full transparency, but from my understanding, usually about 1 to 2 times a week is how often they're getting out of.
And have you found that's because people don't generally like people from Wisconsin coming into their homes?
So that could be. They just keep me out. They don't want me in there, right? Yeah.
How long does a typical stay on rehab last?
I think on average, like 10 to 14 days, somewhere within that like 1 to 3 week time frame. I feel like insurance definitely is a big
That is the big brother of med issue. Yeah. I've learned in medicine, you know, like people ask me, well, how long on this or that? I have one way of answering that. I always say, look, you know, it's hours to days, days to weeks to months to years. You know, if they'll ask me, how long do I have or when will this be a problem? Because I think those cat it, you know. So truly with like stroke rehab, the answer should be weeks to months.
I would say
for
so,
the most part.
For sure.
Yeah. I've kind of always had that 12-month mark to say, you know, if this is what we have at 12 months. That's probably as good as it's going to get. But you're saying 6 months also is a realistic marker.
Yeah, just seeing patients. I've been able to float within our acute care, rehab, and outpatient units. And so, yeah, just kind of seeing patients once they get out to that kind of 6 month mark is usually maybe when things start to plateau. I don't think it's a hard and fast, and everyone's probably different. I think also depends on like what patients are doing on their own at home too. That's a big, you know, just to have carryover with what we're teaching them in therapy can make a difference.
Who's the first person to put the tennis balls on the bottom of the walker?
I don't know. We give little skis.
Shouldn't you know that?
I should probably know that, but.
Okay. But you don't know who that was?
No.
Okay.
They should be famous.
They should.
Trademarked. Yeah.
So you say you put the little skis. I mean,
How ours are.
It's to overcome resistance, right? I mean, and also and so it friction. Doesn't wheel away from them.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Patients don't like it when they scratch their floors, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's important. What do you like most about your job?
Yeah. I love just being able to have something new every day. Everyone's comes with different symptoms and different presentation. And so I think just getting to play a really important part in their recovery process, get to spend time with them, establish a relationship with them so they can put their trust in us, which is hard to do, but and just kind of work together as a team.
Yeah. Well, like I said at the beginning, it's a team sport, mm-hmm. and you guys truly are subject matter experts.
Yeah.
So thanks for joining me, Kristen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Once again, this is Kristen Bolin. She's a physical therapist with St. Luke's Hospital. It's been great information to learn, and I think the listeners will be well-rounded in their knowledge of post-stroke care coming up in the month of May. To learn more, visit unipoint.org.
Thank you for listening to Live Well Talk On. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe, and if you want to spread the word, please give us a 5-star review and tell your family, friends, neighbors, strangers about our podcast. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, or wherever you get your podcast. Until next time, be well.